Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave, 100 degrees. And I'll be out at Willie Colon's outing to raise money and awareness for lupus and 100 degrees today out in Summit, New Jersey.
Yeah, so, well, stop feeling sorry for yourself.
I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I just want to say, Willie, get the water out there. We need hydration. That's it. That was the one message.
Don't be drinking on the golf course today.
No. Today is all about the water, all about the Gatorade, and it's also all about Boomstradamus. This was a Boomstradamus weekend. What a Boomstradamus weekend, man. I tell you, if I got one text about Boomer called it, I got 50 to 100 texts saying Boomer called it on two separate things. One, actually both negative things, unfortunately. One, Francisco Alvarez getting sent down as we had that conversation about his struggles. And then last night, NBA Finals, Game 7, calf injuries turn into Achilles injuries. Yeah, calf strain, boom, Achilles. It happened to Tyrese Halliburton, and Oklahoma City goes on to win the NBA Finals. Good morning, Boomstradamus. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. The Alvarez thing, I was 100%. You got to get him out of here. He was swinging for the fences, couldn't hit anything, was playing terrible behind the plate. It's time to send him down and get him to grow up. So I was, that was all about, you know, trying to make the Mets better and hopefully making him better. So when he does come back later on in the year, he'll have more of an impact like he did when he was a rookie. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, you can't keep watching the same thing over and over and over again and think that it's going to change. So you got to get his confidence back. His confidence is in the toilet, but you also got to give him a little bit of a wake-up call. So that's why I felt like, you know, this would be the right time to send him down. So the Mets did the right thing there as far as I'm concerned. As far as Tyrese Halliburton is concerned, you know, folks got to understand, like, this is why your favorite athlete, when they strain a calf, is out for 2 months. Like, he didn't have 2 months. He did like Kevin Durant. He wanted to play. He wanted to be a part of his team. He wanted to be out there. And obviously, just like how Kevin Durant got hurt, he had actually started the game great, 3-for-3, hitting bombs. And then all of a sudden, you could see that Achilles just ruptured, just like it did for Aaron Rodgers. Remember, you saw it looked like it was like a electric shock through the lower leg?
Yep.
That's exactly what it looked like. And I don't like being right about those things, but I also know that these things happen quite often, and this is why the calf injury in today's athlete, for whatever reason, is so concerning, because you want to protect that Achilles and you want to make sure that your calf is 100%. And give him a lot of credit, because he played through it, they managed it, and then unfortunately last night it came to fruition. So I don't get any joy out of it. I'm pointing out something that, I mean, I think we should all be aware of, because we're all sports fans and we all watch different athletes go through this. And it's just amazing how once you hear calf strain, what's coming next, if they continue to play through it, is going to be the Achilles.
Yeah, and we knew he had to continue to play through it, and I'm sure that there was no conversation about it. Like, this is the NBA Finals, and it's Game 7, and we're playing through this thing, and that's three stars in the Eastern Conference playoffs that ruptured their Achilles this postseason. Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Tyrese Halliburton.
And the thing, I would imagine that our buddy Marty O'Malley got a call last night.
Yeah, maybe.
And I would
think
that Tyrese would be on his way here for the hospital special surgery for Marty to take care of him, much like he took care of Jason Tatum, much like he took care of Kevin Durant. He took care of my son-in-law, Matt Martin, when he had an ankle issue. Took care of my CEO, Bob Plansker, when he had an ankle issue.
Wow.
I mean,
I almost want an injury so I can go to Dr. O'Malley, well, so he could be in good company, you know?
You know, the thing is that they're learning, you know, get in there immediately, get it together, and then you're going to have to sit out for about 6 months to 8 months, depending on, you know, how you heal. and then you got to come back somewhat slowly. As we saw that Kevin Durant basically sat out an entire year.
Yeah, well, he did.
And I would think that...
Not basically.
I would think that Jason Tatum may come back, you know, maybe next January or February. If he heals well and he does good in the rehab, then maybe he'll come back a little bit earlier than that. But I would say that Tyrese Halliburton's most likely out for the year.
Yeah, and the Nets were, it was the bubble year, right, that happened. So they did make the postseason in the bubble.
But remember Kyrie Irving
didn't want to play. And there was no way that Kevin Durant was coming back in that situation. I remember the talk being that there could be a chance that he could. So, you know, maybe with Halliburton, he has a great recovery and he can come back for the postseason. But I would be surprised if you saw him at all during the regular season.
I mean, he's not going to. So we're in June right now. So
late June, by the way. So, the 23rd.
Yeah, I mean, so you got to give him at least 8 months to 12 months. Now, there may be some newfangled therapy that they're going through and they're finding success with it, but man, you just got to make sure that thing is right, that it's tight, that it's, you know, that you don't stretch it and you have it loosen on you. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this. It's just not easy to overcome something like this. So, and you got to be diligent when you're a player that you basically leave that foot in that boot or that cast so that doesn't move.
Yeah.
It's a rough thing to come back from.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's becoming basketball's Tommy John.
Well, and how about the NFL's torn ACLs?
Yeah.
I mean, that's another one. So, but yeah, and unfortunately, three stars and all in the East. And if you're a Knicks fan, that's something that's on your mind. It just is, because you've got two teams, one of which that you couldn't beat in the regular season, but you beat in the postseason. Another team you haven't been able to beat in the postseason, losing their top players long period of time. So
the Knicks are going to go without a coach, by the way.
Player coach? Jalen Brunson?
No coach at all. Brunson? No coach at all. Nobody's going to, nothing. Just let them go play ball.
Yeah. Well, we know that they're going to hire somebody at some point, but there's no doubt.
They probably still have their eye on Jason Kidd.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like, and they're going to exhaust every option until, I guess, the Mavericks give him some giant extension that he can't turn down.
So, the amazing thing is that Fanatics Fest was incredible this weekend.
Yeah.
And one of the incredible things that happened is Kevin Durant's up there with Kay Adams.
He's up there with Taylor Rooks.
Taylor Rooks. And he's up there and he's giving an interview, and then he can hear the fans yelling, "You just got traded to Houston!"
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, now he knew, if you listen, so the Kay Adams interview happened after this, and he knew it was going to happen. He didn't know exactly when it was going to happen, so when people were yelling at him, that was news to him that it had gone down, but he flat out said that he told them where he wanted to go, and he dictated this trade, and he knew it was going to happen.
Not surprising, right?
So, I mean, no, not surprising at all, but I just, the conversation around the, oh my God, Kevin Durant's at Fanatics Fest, and he found out he got traded to the Rockets. Oh my goodness. Like, he knew it was happening probably a week ago. So, and he didn't know, like, when the news was going to break, but it broke while he was up there on stage, and they gave up a lot for an older player, the Houston Rockets.
With 1 year remaining on his contract.
Exactly. So they are pushing all their chips in the middle of the table to try to get after it and win one in the next couple of years. So
I mean, so do you think, like, what the Knicks gave up for Mikal Bridges compared to what Kevin Durant went for from Houston?
Well, I mean, this haul is much greater than that, but Kevin Durant's also a better player than Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
But he's towards the end of his career.
Five teams in 9 years?
Yeah. I mean,
there's something there, man.
Well, of course. And that's why I didn't want him on the Knicks at all. I mean, we talked about this. I think that he's towards the end. And I think there's also this aura around Kevin Durant. Like, the Knicks clearly still were interested in him and wanted him. And I don't think he's going to be the guy to put you over the top. He clearly wasn't in Brooklyn. He wasn't in Phoenix. I don't think he's going to be in Houston. And when you give up, you know, two players, like players that people know that got minutes, the 10th overall pick and 5 second round picks, I mean, you'd be thinking you're getting Kevin Durant when he's 28 years old.
Yep.
And you're not. So.
But I don't know, for Houston and the team that they have and the fact they were able to keep that collection of players together. I was reading about an article about just how big this team is going to be, like physically big.
Yeah,
I think they have five guys on the that'll be on the floor at one time starting a game, all like 6'11 or taller, or 6'10 and taller.
Yeah.
And they can all run and jump out of the gym. I mean, you know, so they'll be a force. There's no question about it. I just don't know. Does he have that burning desire that he had when he was younger, you know, where everything came easy to him? And he's still an amazing basketball player, but I just don't know if he has that drive that it's required. Like, watching these games last night, or this game last night, you know, it's a young man's game, man.
Oh, of course. I mean, you think about Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, I saw Scott Van Pelt interviewing SGA, so SVP and SGA, and he said, like, can most of your team actually drink tonight? Because, I mean, I don't know if you're all over 21, and that's how young and the Oklahoma City Thunder were and are, and they won an NBA championship. So there's no doubt about it, and that's why you feel like this window for the Knicks is also, you know, closing, because it's not like every player that they have is the 22, 23 years old. They got young players, and they got guys who have experience. They're not too old yet, but, you know, it's got to happen in the next couple of years, and maybe that pressure led to this Thibodeau decision.
And also the fact that you brought up that there are three main players in the Eastern Conference that would have stood in the way of the Knicks trying to get back to the conference championship. And all three of those players are not going to be back next year.
Yeah, now they may be back for the postseason. You might get Tatum back for the postseason. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as what the Knicks are trying to do and during a regular season, it doesn't mean that the Knicks are going to be injury-proof. I mean, that's the other thing in this conversation that I heard other people having was like, oh, man, you know, all these guys are going to be hurt and the Knicks are going to be sitting pretty. I mean, well, the Knicks do have the ability to get hurt themselves.
Oh, yeah, well, we've seen before.
Right. Let's not pretend like that's not a possibility as well, unfortunately, because that's just the nature of the game. But, yes, I mean, the way if think about the way we'd be thinking about the Knicks this morning if they hadn't fired their coach after making it to Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
We'd be thinking, okay, they're ready to rock and roll now.
Yeah, like this is it.
And they're going to add a piece or two here or there. You know, interesting thing now this is the real, like, exciting part of the NBA. Now the season's over and free agency is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
This is why this trade happens. This is like leading up to a lot of different things, and hopefully that there's going to be an announcement on the Knicks coach sooner than later, and away we go. I mean, the same thing in the NHL, for that matter, because that's right around the corner as well. But this is the time where you want off-season drama. This is usually these next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we have 9 shows before July 4th. We take off for the 4th. Now, I know that July 6th is the NBA free agency, so there could be something going on there. But what you're going to see between now and in these 9 shows that we're going to do in these 2 weeks is the Knicks are going to have a coach, you're going to have NHL free agency, and you're going to have big rumors about where guys are flying around. And you may, because think too, you got trades that could happen still before free agency. So you may get some trades because the bigger names like Kevin Durant getting traded, Giannis getting traded, stuff like that, that can happen before July 6th and probably will happen before July 6th. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement over the next couple of weeks.
Well, the other thing, too, is right now, today's the day after the finals, so teams can start negotiating with their own free agents.
Yeah.
So they can start doing that, and then it looks like you can't really sign any contracts until July 6th at 12:01.
Okay, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see if teams keep their free agents and who's going to be available, who's waiting for a big money contract. And I don't know, man. It's just, this is the time where it really should ramp up and the drama should get going, because the decisions that Leon Rose makes will ultimately determine where this franchise is headed, depending on who the coach is going to be and who are the new pieces, or if he decides to go swimming in the big end of the pool again and make another trade and another acquisition.
Yeah, but they are right there. I mean, with this group that they have now, they are right there. And this head coach hire is even more important with what happened last night. I mean, you're talking about a Pacers team that they played well and beat them and ended up being the better team, the Pacers. You know, if you don't blow game one, who knows what happens? That took the Thunder, the best team in the NBA with the best player in the NBA, to a 7th game. And who knows if Haliburton stays healthy, maybe they win that game. That the Knicks were that close. They were that close. This is the closest that, and going into last year, we didn't know exactly who they were going to be and how it was going to work out, and the Celtics seemed like a big deal. Going into this year, I mean, the expectations are massive.
Can't wait for that opening press conference for the new coach.
Yeah, you're, well, unless it's Jason Kidd, it's going to be like your choice number eight. How does that feel?
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, if it's Mike Brown, I mean, it's easy to answer that question. Mike Brown's been around for a very long time, but I mean, that's like, he's going to get peppered with that right away.
Doesn't sound like it's going to be Mike Brown.
Well, I mean, well, who then now? Taylor Jenkins? Who's it going to be?
Mike Brown? Mike Brown, maybe.
I mean, I said Mike Brown.
Oh, my, you know who I was thinking of? I was thinking of the Denver coach.
Mike Malone.
Mike Malone is who I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, Mike Malone seems to be out, completely out, and been completely out, which is too bad because he's like a, you know, hard-ass attitude guy from Astoria. You would think there'd be a perfect fit who's got ties to the Knicks.
Maybe Leon Rose had some clients playing for him, and they gave, you know, a bad review of him to Leon Rose.
I mean, there's someone in that organization that does not like Mike Malone. I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's Leon Rose. I don't know if it's World Wide West. I don't know if it's the other guys that are milling around there. Steve Stout still has a job there. Some of these.
Does he still?
I don't know if he does or not. But I mean,
World Wide West is right in the middle of all this.
Someone does not like Michael Malone in that organization, and because he's not getting a fair shake at all.
I will say, when you have a guy like World Wide West and Leon Rose within the confines of your business, and you know they have all these contacts, so the players probably tell them things or have told them things over the years about certain coaches who they like playing for, who they don't like playing for. This guy sucks. This guy's great. This guy's a hard ass. This guy doesn't connect. All those types of things that I'm sure, you know, the front office of the Knicks have a pretty good handle on.
Yeah.
So you would like to think that they know who they want, and maybe they've already made that decision and they can't make it happen with Jason Kidd. They're going to have to then go with a second or third choice. And if it is Mike Brown, I could see him standing up there and just saying, hey, look, man, I understand it's a business. We got to win. The expectations are high for this team. I have high expectations for this team. I could just see the opening press conference going along those lines.
He's one of the more seasoned vets when it comes to all that stuff. He dealt with a underachieving LeBron James-led team for a few years. So he's answered. He's been in the fire, even though that was Cleveland. That was national. He's been in the fire plenty of times before. I'm not worried about that with him. I'm just worried about, you know, is he the guy that can deliver a championship to this organization? It just feels to me like a who's left as opposed to who do they want.
Right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Holy Christ, I feel like I'm sitting next to an Islander billboard.
Yeah, how much money did Ledecky pay you to wear that around here?
None.
Because, I mean, it's like a walking billboard. Yeah. It's like when they put an advertisement on a bus. That's sort of what it's like.
I just pulled whatever was on the top of the drawer.
Sure.
I pulled that out this morning.
Yes, sure. You had no thoughts about what you'd be wearing on television today. Yeah.
Well, it's
no
a big week for them. It's a big week.
Of course, absolutely.
It's a big week for everybody.
Franchise-altering week coming up.
Yeah, indeed. So there's lots of stuff going on in sports. There's lots of stuff going on with you. Well, I think we'll get to later because there was Sunday Night Baseball. There was an NBA Finals.
So yes, a lot of stuff.
That.
Yes.
People want to hear that early in the morning as they're waking up, and we'll dive into some Schwartzisms a little bit later. So what's going on in sports, Schwartz?
Well, this report is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Will begin with Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
It's over at Paycom Center. Final in Game 7, the Thunder 103, the Pacers 91. A dream realized. The storybook season is complete. The final chapter reads, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2025 NBA champions.
That was Matt Pinto on Thunder Radio. Thunder over the Pacers 103-91 in Game 7 for the second NBA title in franchise history. Seattle won it in 1979, but this is the first title since the team moved to Oklahoma City in 2008. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was named the NBA Finals MVP at 29 points.
Hold on. Wait, can you do that one more time?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No, Gilgeous.
It's Gilgeous.
Gilgeous.
So I have trouble with that name.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't figured that I heard you say Shy once, Gilgis, but it's not Gilgis.
I called him Sean once, too.
You called him Sean?
On the network, yeah, I called him Sean.
No. So it's Shay.
Shay Gilgis
Alexander.
There you go.
I mean, he's only the NBA Finals
MVP.
It
wouldn't be a
the regular
shift
season
here without mispronouncing something.
You know
that's
what?
True.
You know what he loves, though? Shay Gilgis Alexander?
SGA.
You know what
SGA?
He loves? He loves tequila.
He really does.
Yeah, he loves tequila. He loves a ton of it. So he's drinking some last night.
Big
he's celebrating
clump of people. Yeah.
With a big clump of people. Has he got a new leaf on life?
Yes, he sure does. Now he's an NBA champion and the NBA Finals MVP. 29 points and 12 assists in Game 7.
No matter what, like, you go into every night wanting to win, and sometimes it just doesn't go your way. And tonight could have been one of those nights, but we found a way. I'm so proud of this group. I wouldn't have rather done it with any other group in the world. It feels good to be a champion.
Jalen Williams chipped in with 20 points. Chet Holmgren had 18. The Thunder trailed by a point at halftime, then outscored the Pacers 34-20 in the third quarter. They were the best team in the NBA throughout the season. Now they are NBA champs. Now the Pacers found a way to hang in there after a devastating injury in the first quarter.
Halliburton is face down in the Indiana offensive end. The trainer, Josh Probeal, rushes out to take a look. And even a concerned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is checking on Halliburton.
And that was Mark Boyle on Pacers Radio with less than 5 minutes to go in the first quarter. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle after the game on the injury.
All of our hearts dropped, but he will be back. I don't have any medical information about what may or may not have happened, but he'll be back in time, and I believe he'll make a full recovery.
Halliburton's father
should be on a plane this morning and getting ready and get prepared for surgery today, just like Jason Tatum did.
Yeah, it was the next day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The swelling go down and then they went.
No,
right
they don't
in
even
there.
Worry about that anymore.
They don't?
No, they
go right
they
in.
Want to go right in and go get it and reattach it and then hopefully get it going and get his rehab going and get him back as quickly as possible.
You know what's interesting, and I don't know. I guess all these injuries aren't created equal, but you know with Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Durant, they both looked like they had something wrong, but they weren't in excruciating pain. They were just sort of like, what was that? And they went and grabbed back. And Tatum and Halliburton were in massive amounts of pain.
What about Damian Lillard? Was he in pain as well?
I have to go back and look at that one. But if you watch, like, Durant does this, and he's like, he's sort of like, what's that? Let me see what's going on here, you know? And then it's like grabs the back.
And how many of these Achilles have we had over at MetLife Stadium?
But you see like how he's going off here, he's just talking, whatever. Like the Tatum and Halliburton were like screaming.
Like they were shot.
It. Yeah, it was. And obviously the Aaron Rodgers one we saw 20 million times, you know, and he just basically sort of like walked off.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, the Aaron Rodgers thing to me, when you saw it in slow motion, probably like the third or fourth replay of it, they slowed it down.
Yeah, and then the
and you could see like the vibrating of the Achilles where it just basically, you know, explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And comes right off the bone and rolls right down. And that's why I think now with all this stuff going on, and I, you know, remember he had the speed bridge put in.
Yeah.
So this is, I don't know if it really makes a difference or not. He's back, he's playing. He was back and practicing, but I think most of these NBA players are going to go about it the way that Kevin Durant did, and that is go see Dr. O'Malley and get it done.
Yeah, when you had your hip slip down your leg there, Peter, when you were playing football on the beach with your kids, was that painful?
It was very painful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have wished that pain on my worst enemy. Well, maybe I would have, but it was pretty painful.
Yeah. Did you have to get help by both the boys into the car and all that?
Nobody could get me up. I was like face down on the ground after I fell.
Yeah.
And it literally took like the EMT team to get there. And they kept telling me, could you please like roll over so we can get you on the stretcher? I'm like, I don't think I'm rolling here. Like there's no rolling involved. And they literally had to stick like a sheet underneath me and kind of like maneuver me onto the stretcher to get me into the ambulance.
That's got
to
be a rock bottom spot for you, right?
It was pretty bad. I can't. I don't think there's anything I've ever gone through that was worse than that.
So you were on the beach.
We were not actually on. We were on, not on the beach. We were in like a concrete playground. The kids were playing on the playground at that point.
Oh, okay.
That's where we were playing football.
So you were on concrete.
Concrete.
Was it true that the EMTs at first tried to drag you back into the water because they thought that's where you came out of?
No. Big whale, yeah. No. It was pretty bad, 18 days in the hospital.
Oh, Jesus, man. Well, you came out of it pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Moving around now, walking around.
I'm not, you know.
Did you get a new hip?
Got a brand new hip. At first it was just repaired. And then over time, you know, the situation got to the point where it had to get replaced.
Oh, so you got it repaired at that point.
It was actually the bone that holds the hip in place, like a similar. The only thing I ever have in common with Bo Jackson was a similar injury to Bo Jackson. The acetabular bone.
The acetabular.
Crack. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So they fixed that, but then it just got to the point where it had to be.
So they got you on a sheet.
They have a sheet to turn me over so they can lift me up and get me onto the stretcher.
Yeah. And during his recovery, by the way, something I'll never forget, Peter changed his Twitter avatar to Dennis Byrd's jersey for inspiration during
inspiration,
that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, whatever floats your boat, man.
Yeah. That was a wild comparison between the two, you know.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, indeed.
Hmm. It's not often there's a blockbuster trade on the same day that a league champion is crowned. But that's what we had yesterday. The Suns reportedly trading Kevin Durant to the Rockets for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 overall pick in this year's draft, and 5 second-round picks. KD confirmed the trade during an appearance at Fanatics Fest with an old friend of Gio's.
Can I introduce you for the first time ever, maybe, as Houston Rocket Kevin Durant?
That's it. That would be very fitting right now, yeah.
What does that feel like? It happened moments ago here at Fanatics Fest. What is going on?
Fanatics Fest is crazy. If you haven't been here and been tapped in, anything can happen at Fanatics Fest, like me getting traded. But being a part of the Houston Rockets, I'm looking forward to it. Crazy, crazy last couple weeks, but I'm glad it's over with.
And that was, of course, Kay Adams talking with him at Fanatics Fest yesterday.
Yep.
Now to baseball and a rough night for the Mets.
1-1 on Castellanos. The pitch. That's ripped in the air to left center field. Nimmo can't get to it. This one splits him and heads to the wall. Schwarber around second, heading for third. He's getting waved toward the plate. Lindor turns, fires the cutoff throw. Home, the slide, the tag. Not in time.
That was Keith Rand on Odyssey Mets Radio. Phillies crushed the Mets 7-1 in the rubber game of the weekend series. Phillies move into sole possession of first place in the National League East. David Peterson touched for 5 runs in that fourth inning.
Yeah, man, I don't know if, you know, they made adjustments or whatnot, but I didn't execute enough pitches. And the ones that I didn't execute the way I wanted to, they took advantage of.
And Francisco,
this nine game swing here that started with Tampa getting swept, then going to Atlanta, getting swept, and then winning 1 out of 3 here in Philadelphia. Now you come home against Atlanta. Remember we were talking about this stretch of the schedule?
Yeah, I remember.
Now they have got to return the favor against Atlanta at home. They have to.
And that starts tonight on Odyssey Mets Radio at 6:30.
Yeah, it's just ugly. And with Peterson on the mound, too, I'm thinking, all right, you know, take 2 out of 3 from Philadelphia, get yourself back straight. Nope. Worst outing of the year. And, of course, they did nothing offensively.
There was better news in the Bronx.
Here's the 3-0, the pitch. Swung on and driven deep to the gap in right center field. That ball is one hop off the fence. It hits right above the 385 sign. Coming around is Rice. They're waving Pauly home. Here's the throw to the plate. And Divey's in there.
That was Dave Sims.
How do you think he's doing, Peter, Dave Sims, with the play-by-play?
I like him.
You like him?
I like him. A little different. A little different listen than John Sterling.
Yeah. You know Dave from back in the day?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. All right, very good.
Worked with him at the other station in town a little bit, too.
Okay.
And he was doing a college basketball show there, so I'm at Sirius.
So you like it? You like
yeah,
what he's
I did.
Doing.
Okay. Yeah, I think they did very well. That was a good landing spot.
All right, nice.
That was Dave Sims here on The Fan. Yankees score 3 in the 8th, beat the Orioles 4-2, and they take 2 out of 3 over the weekend. Yankees manager Aaron Boone after... No, I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
Just
okay.
Joking.
Look at that. Look at you. The hijinks of Schwartz. Nobody's safe from the Schwartz hijinks. All right.
Jazz Chisholm, the big hit. He talked about it after the game on something called Roku TV.
Yeah, it's 3-0. You know, you only were looking for one pitch in one spot. So, for me, I was just looking for that fastball out over. He didn't throw me one all at bat. But that's the pitch I was looking for. I saw it, and I did what I was supposed to do with it.
And
Chiz?
And then Devin Williams closed the deal in the 9th with his 10th save. Now the Bombers move on to Cincinnati tonight to take on the Reds. Coverage here on The Fan.
Weird play at home plate with Chisholm, too, where his shoe goes flying off. That was bizarre. Never seen anything like
that. You ever run out of your shoe before?
No. I don't run anymore, Peter, but I never did, even my athlete days. But yeah, this is just the awkwardness of where the catcher is, and then boom, and his shoe falls off, and he's sliding around. Just a weird one.
We'll hear the soundbite later in the morning. Oh, but he okay. talked Very about good. his you know, feet being all sweaty because it was so hot, and maybe that's why they both came off.
Okay.
Want to close with this. Fanatics Fest yesterday. Over the weekend, they had this. They didn't do it last year. They did it this year, the Fanatics Games.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, the athletes, the celebrities, and the fans.
Yeah, we had Tom Izzo's brother who said he was going to be a problem.
Mm.
Well, Tom Brady wound up winning. And with that came a $1 million prize. But he wanted to make sure that he shared the winnings.
What I thought was important to me is, again, a lot of the fans and Matt even trained for this, a lot of other people, 49 other competitors. I'd like to give them, for my winnings, everyone that competed, $5,000 for them and their, that those fans continue to show up and show out and check the leaderboard. 6 out of the top 10 were fans in this competition, so I wanted to make sure they didn't go home empty-handed.
That was very nice of Tom Brady to do that.
And he's giving the rest of it to charity.
Yes.
He doesn't need it.
I still don't like him, but that was very nice of what he did.
So Tom Izzo, Frank Izzo got $5,000 before taxes.
Do we know where he finished the problem?
Now we could text Tom.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't want to forget because I got yelled at last time I forgot golf, but Keegan Bradley won the Traveler, so
yeah,
I didn't want
to. Yeah, by the way, that whole thing was amazing yesterday, watching Tommy Fleetwood just absolutely fold and Keegan Bradley just come and throw on the 18th hole. We've all been there for Tommy Fleetwood, and that guy, that poor guy, cannot win a PGA Tour event.
If this is the Fleetwood putt here, watch it hit the thing, boom
and goes on. Right.
Yeah, but the whole deal with the USA chance and Keegan Bradley and being up there.
Maybe he'll keep himself on there at the Ryder Cup team.
Oh.
Why not? You got to, right?
By the way,
isn't that coming to Long Island, the Ryder Cup?
What, Peter, Mr. Long Island, Peter, you don't know that?
Peter, yeah. you're kidding. This is this more right, Schwartz
I hijinks? I thought I heard. No.
This is not more Schwartz hijinks.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No. No, I knew it was coming. I didn't know if it was this year or another year. I knew it was coming.
It's this year, and it's in September.
At Bethpage Black. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's going on in Iran?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. Just making sure we're up to date on everything.
Yeah.
Tom Izzo's brother, Frank Izzo, finished 57th.
Oh, my God.
Not a great showing.
So much for being the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's still getting the 5K, right?
I guess so.
Of course he is, yeah.
Yeah. So it was great of him to get in, but... I mean, he was talking a mean game up that he was going to get this $1 million, and he had 56 more people doing better than him. Not great.
Yeah, they held up the lines for regular people online to take part in those activities to bring celebrities in to do.
So it just goes to show you that Fanatics Fest was a huge success.
It was.
Again.
Yep.
Yeah, well, so you went
yesterday.
You took the kids.
Just me and Bradley went.
How crowded was it?
I'm told it was the least crowded of the 3 days. Saturday was the biggest crowd, but it was still packed pretty good yesterday.
I'm thinking Michael Rubin sat in that same chair that you're sitting in.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a greater net worth disparity in the same
Probably
chair?
Probably not. there had to be other gazillionaires that sat here before, no?
Not like him, I don't think. I mean, I don't know. I can't think of him. Ice Cube, maybe?
Yeah.
He's got
right
a lot
by
of money.
Me yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Ice Cube?
No, Michael Rubin.
Oh, Michael Rubin.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you say hello?
No, he had an entourage around.
What shirt were you wearing yesterday?
A Jets t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, the story you told on the warm-up show where someone came up to you and said, are you a Jets super fan?
Yeah.
Because you look like super fans. I'm like, of course. The
but I didn't know what like she said. She just came up to me and said, are you a super fan? I'm thinking, of what?
Yeah.
I'm a super fan of a lot of things. I said,
right.
Are you a Jets super fan? I'm like, yeah. How would you like to meet Sauce Gardner?
So they were looking for people.
They were looking for people.
For super fans.
Yes.
And did you meet Sauce Gardner?
We got to meet him, take a picture, and we were handed an autographed picture.
There you go.
Yeah, but it lasted 2 seconds. You said you were disappointed. You wanted to talk to
him. Yeah, like you literally couldn't even say, like, hey, good luck this season, big fan. Like, all right, next.
Right. They put you on a sheet and dragged you out of there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It's really shocking to me that Peter Schwartz did not know that the Ryder Cup was happening at Bethpage this year, him being Mr. Long Island. I mean, for crying out loud, there had to be some sort of gift card or something that he'd received that had told him that Bethpage Black was the host of the Ryder Cup in 2025.
You know, my thing is if Wally Szczerbiak is considered the golf ambassador of Long Island.
Yeah.
Then I got to believe that Peter Schwartz is considered just the overall sports ambassador for Long Island.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he's just Long Island in general, just things to do and where to go. I mean, he had strong takes on where the Long Island Welcome Center should have been on the LIE. I mean, these are the things that he thinks about, and he had no idea about the Ryder Cup. But yesterday, the Travelers, the place that we no longer go to because I was screaming about not getting any guests up there last year, which I think saved us from going, but still, it would have been nice if we had more guests last year. But we did get Corey Connors and Akshay Bhatia. It's one of the few times Stephen Waldron helped us out, went down and got Akshay Bhatia off the putting green. But the Travelers the last couple of years have been really amazing. And Tommy Fleetwood has got 42 top 10 finishes and never won. Has it right there in his hands. All he has to do, basically, is to par the hole at the very least to get into a playoff. And he hits a great drive, makes a last-minute club change on his approach shot in, comes up short. He's got a 50-foot putt. Jim Nantz said that he thought he rushed that putt. Keegan Bradley has a dart to 5 feet. Tommy Fleetwood's first putt doesn't even get to Keegan Bradley's marker.
Well, that's because his previous putt almost, you know, went off the green.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, he ends up missing this one. There's something, he hit something on the green. And so Keegan had this 5-footer to win. And I got to tell you, because it's a Ryder Cup year, because Tommy Fleetwood's going to be on the European team, and the fact that Keegan Bradley's sitting there stone-faced, ready to take this tournament on his home ground because he's a Northeastern guy and you know, Massachusetts, New England, and the whole thing, and it's in Connecticut, and he makes that putt, and everybody's screaming USA. I mean, I was so fired up.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I was getting chilled. The USA, USA. I was like, this is awesome.
And by the way, that's just a taste of what Bethpage Black is going to be like.
Oh, my God.
It is going to be crazy. And I would think that, you know, Keegan said that if he had enough points, he would end up playing and being the captain. I think that's a tough thing.
You do?
That is a tough thing.
But I mean, it's like his favorite thing in the world.
I know,
to do.
I know. And he deserves, if he deserves to be on the team, he should be on the team. And I'm sure he'll have people helping him decide, you know, how the pairings are going to work out and who should be playing with who. And, you know, and that those are big decisions to be made. You know that.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, I think that, don't you want him on the team?
I do. Well, as long as he deserves to be on the team, which he does, then up to now, I would say yes.
Yeah, I think that Keegan Bradley, because of Full Swing, is the which is the Netflix documentary where they followed around these PGA Tour golfers, because of Full Swing is the Ryder Cup captain, because during that, when it debuted back in 2023, when they were going to play in Italy against the European team, he wins the Travelers, and he's got a mic on him, and he goes to his wife, "You ready to go to Italy?" Because he thought that he was going to be a lock
and
on
he
the
didn't
team.
Go.
And then he gets the call from Zach Johnson, and then he, you know, it's crushing to him, and everybody saw how much it meant to him, and he ends up being named the captain, and here he is again winning at the Travelers 2 years later and maybe playing his way in with points.
But also remember, the LIV guys are going to play in this year.
Yeah.
They did not play in that in Italy, and one of the reasons why is because that little click on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, the Jupiter guys.
Yeah, decided all stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up getting their asses handed to them.
Exactly.
So Keegan's going to remember that, I'm sure, and he's going to be picking guys that he wants to win and wants to represent America the right way. And I couldn't have picked they couldn't have picked a better captain. And now watching him do this yesterday again while Tommy Fleetwood is, it was a lot of emotions, a lot of weird emotions. Like, I was happy for Keegan for sure, and I was happy for the fans. The fans were great. But, man, we've all been there where Tommy Fleetwood has been.
Well,
like, that 4-foot putt that he, or 6-foot-8 putt that he misses, like, we've all been there.
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, not to win a tournament, you know, not to win a tournament on the PGA Tour.
To win $100, to win $20, to have a, you know, have a Nassau, whatever.
And then you think about his dad who's there, and he's you know, his first win potentially. I mean, he's definitely the best player to not have won anything at this point. But in any other situation, I would have felt really bad for him. But to have, think about this, to have Keegan Bradley, right, grab his putter. You know what his putter cover has on it? St. John's University, where he went. So he's got the St. John's logo on his putter cover. His polo says Flag and Anthem.
Yep.
He's a Flag and Anthem ambassador. He's got a giant Flag and Anthem logo on there. And then he makes the putt, USA chance with the Ryder Cup on Long Island. Cole, does it get any better than that?
No, it doesn't.
I mean,
no.
Does it hit home better than that? No, it doesn't.
Well, it didn't hit Peter Schwartz.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, whatever. Well, I mean, that was just, about. Oh, man. Yeah, you know, I did feel bad for him, but it's a Ryder Cup.
But did you see him? So he misses the putt. He goes, stand over to the side. Did you see, like, his face?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you and I, like, I'm telling you, I've been here 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, God!
And he starts, you know, grabbing his face and rubbing it and all the thing. And just,
I felt bad for him.
And he did end up speaking at...
good for him.
Afterwards, and told everybody how he felt. By the way, I got a little scuttlebutt.
Okay.
Quick scuttlebutt.
Love it.
You know how we're talking about how Rory... he's been in a bad mood even after winning the...
a little bit of a funk, yeah.
He's been in a weird funk. So rumor has it that Alan Shipnuck...
yeah.
Who...
I've interviewed Alan Shipnuck.
Right, who wrote that book about Phil and got Phil in trouble with the Saudi Arabia comments. That Shipnuck's doing a book on Rory.
Yep.
And some of the stuff in there Rory's not loving.
Okay.
He's clamming up a little bit. And that's why. And he's now distrustful of all the media.
I guess I'm going to have Alan Shipnuck on again.
Shipnuck. You got Shipnuck's number? Text Shipnuck. Say what's in there. It's pissing Rory off. We need to know.
I mean, you know, he does his research, that's for sure, and he digs deep.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't want him sniffing around this Shipnuck because he's sniffing in maybe places he doesn't want
him to sniff. But that book sold a lot with Phil.
Of course it did.
And this one will, too. All the golf fans will suck this one up as well.
Suck it up, Shipnuck.
Suck it up, Shipnuck.
I think that's the name of the book. Suck it up, Shipnuck.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.